Hello, everyone, and welcome into CrushTheStreet.com. We got an exciting interview today, and it's very timely because if you've been watching the cryptocurrency space, it's been a sea of red lately. And I'd like to get the thoughts of, you know, the thought leaders in the space who are really seeing what is going on and involved with the infrastructure build out of blockchain. And I think this is very important. And we have someone on today that I think is, you know, very much somebody who is, you know, creating the on-ramps for the institutional money to really enter the space. And I think a lot of us are waiting for that, for the cryptocurrencies to take us to the next level for those who have a bullish outlook on it. So let's talk about this with Adam Todd. Adam, thanks for coming on Crush the Street today and sharing your thoughts with us.
Hey, mate. Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here. Thank you very much.
So by introduction, he's with DigitexFutures.com. He's the founder and CEO, ex-pit trader on the London International Financials Futures and Options Exchange. And this is a platform, a commission-free futures exchange with its own native cryptocurrency, the DGTX token. That's what this is. So we're going to get into that. But before we do, let's talk about maybe the overall space right now, what you're seeing, the bloodbath of
do we have to? Yeah, it's pretty brutal, right? I just think 2018 was just a massive big disappointment, really. We just got so excited, we got so revved up by the, you know, the potential of cryptocurrency, I think, when we hit those new highs at the end of 2017. And I think we just got a bit carried away. I think all that stuff's going to happen. It just didn't happen yet. You know, a lot of the projects in 2018 were kind of a little crappy. There was a lot of scams, unfortunately. I just think we got a little carried away. I don't think we got it wrong, though. I think, you know, obviously I'm going to say something like this. I think 2019 is going to be a lot better because it couldn't be any worse, obviously. But I think 2019 is where we're going to actually start seeing the projects come about where, you know, mass adoption of cryptocurrencies can happen, because there are a lot of limitations still. But the technology is finally catching up. And I think 2019, we're going to start seeing a lot of that promise that we were expecting that 2018 just didn't deliver on, really.
So question, a lot of these projects, you know, a lot of promises were made. And I know in these bear market environments, this is when, you know, the fundamentally sound make it, you know, the ones that have the financial stability to actually make it through when it's difficult to raise money. But having said that, I want to ask you about opportunity for people looking to be in the crypto space, to become a developer in these hopes of making $200,000, $500,000 a year on these projects. I think many people are concerned that, you know, blockchain is going to get sidestepped. People are going to forget about it because of how bad it is. I mean, people are throwing in the towel. I mean, you're seeing this in many instances with very high level people who said a lot of great things in 2017.
But isn't that the classic signal of the end of the bear market, when everybody just agrees, yeah, this is a bunch of shit. We were all fooled. Yeah, this is rubbish. That is the end. That's the end of the bear market. Once we've gotten rid of all those people, now is when it starts to go up. You know, I mean, how much further can it go down? If you believe cryptocurrency is around to stay, I mean, that's the fundamentals of it, you know,
is this... That needs to be established, because there's people who think there's no value.
Exactly. They say it's the tulip market. It's, you know, it's a scam. It's this, it's that. It's not. Cryptocurrency is like the internet of money. You know, money is very, very important to humans. You know, the internet is obviously very important. It's the internet of money. It ain't going anywhere. You can't put something this useful back into the bottle. So, you know, as long as you come from that position that cryptocurrency ain't going anywhere, like I say, we just got a bit carried away with ourselves last year. We just got too far ahead of ourselves. Those days of everything we were promising and thinking are going to happen and more, things we can't even imagine yet. And we're going to blast past those highs in, you know, I don't know how long it's going to take. Probably not going to be a few months, but within a few years, I would say highly likely.
Yeah, though, that's interesting. So I want to get your thought on this last move that we saw from August to November, we saw Bitcoin, you know, around $6,000, in the $6,000 range.
It was so boring, right? It was like a stable coin for so long. It just stuck there.
Everybody, it put the community at ease. People were like, it's done. And, you know, once the floor fell out from under that, I feel like a lot of psychological damage happened in the community. I mean, and that's really what bear markets can do to investments and markets. I mean, this is how markets really wash and rinse investors. Right when everyone thinks that, hey, we bottomed and things are good again, people go back in and then the floor falls out from under it and people are down 40, 50% once again on these.
Yeah, it just has to be hard. It's just written in there that things with this much upside potential, it can never be easy. You know, you've got such potential to make such a large amount of money, you know, in a relatively small amount of time. You know, you get in even now in 10 years, 15 years time, who knows how much money you could be worth if this really takes off. But when you've got that kind of upside, it don't come easy. You have to put up with this kind of volatility that is going to shake people out regularly and all the time. You know, like they said in the stock market crash, you know, when the shoeshine boy is giving you stock tips, that's when to get out. And that's basically what happened with crypto. You know, everybody got into crypto. It was just an instant way of making easy money. And, you know, we had to have this correction. It's just, you say psychological damage. I mean, yeah, it just has to happen. We have to get rid of that easy money mentality, because it isn't. We need to develop things that actually work, and we actually do things that lead to mass adoption. It's not just buy it and forget about it. It's always going to be hard to hold on, always.
So your company, Commission Free Futures Exchange, I want to ask you about the institutional money that you see coming into cryptocurrency. What do you foresee coming down the pipe in 2019, 2020, and how big of an impact do you suspect that this will have on the overall space? And, you know, at least for me, when I think about this, I think of a river trying to get into a garden hose, and that's right. Really what will happen.
I think it's critical.
Cryptos.
Yeah. It's critical that institutional money comes in. That we're talking about such a large amount of money, you know, all the pension funds and credit unions, just trillions of dollars out there that want to have a punt. You know, they maybe they only want to put in a little bit, you know, a small percent, 2%, 3%, just for their high risk side of it. But even that is a massive, massive amount of money. And we have to open up those gates to that institutional money. Once that money comes in, you know, look at the total market cap of all cryptocurrencies right now. It's what, $130 billion or something? Apple's worth $1 trillion. So you're telling me that all cryptocurrency in the world is worth, what, a sixth of one single company? That's just wrong. That's completely skewed wrong. That is the market getting something wrong right there. It's going to be worth 100 times what Apple is worth, you know? And that institutional money is the next stepping stone I think we need. We've got these technologies coming up, but that institutional money does have to come in. And next year is when it's all going to start coming in. There's going to be an ETF approved. There's going to be backed. You know, the NASDAQ futures are going to come out. It's all going to start happening in 2019.
Yeah, that's interesting. So we're far from saturation as opposed to, let's say, the stock market, which doesn't really need to be anyone else. The gold and silver have, you know, been pervasive now around the world.
And we've had 2,000 years. Yeah, we've had 2,000 years to figure out the price of gold. We got it figured out. We know what gold is. Cryptocurrency, who the hell knows what cryptocurrency is really? Who knows what it's going to do? I mean, you couldn't have imagined the effect that the internet would have on everything you touch and do today 20 years ago. You know, it's affected everything down to, you know, the way we act, the way we talk. It's changed our psyche. It's turned everyone under 20 years old into a moron. You know, it's done so many things that we could never have even imagined. And that's what's going to happen with cryptocurrency. We haven't even approached where it's going to get to yet. We can't even imagine it.
That's a powerful thing. Well, let's talk about Digitex futures and what it is, and, you know, what is the idea that you're bringing to the table here, and the value proposition for the on-ramp of cryptocurrency and the infrastructure build out that we know is all coming.
Well, Digitex Futures, we're commission free. We're not so much aimed at the institutional investors. I heard you say earlier that we're going to be one of the on ramps for institutional money. I mean, that institutional money is critical.
Like directly, but just kind of what's happening
specifically,
overall.
Right. Yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah, we're not specifically aimed at the institutional money. We're aimed more at the retail trader who, you know, wants to get into futures trading, but just doesn't want all those costs that go with it and all those, you know, restrictions of dealing with the traditional markets. We get to be commission free. We're also going to be non-custodial, which I think is huge. You're going to be able to trade with no commissions, which I'll explain how in a second. But I think just as big as commission free is the non-custodial aspect of it. And that is some of the, you know, technology that we're helping to develop now that is going to be those on ramps to mass adoption, which basically will allow us to, you'll be able to deposit your money into an independent smart contract on the Ethereum blockchain, and that smart contract will be able to communicate with our exchange in a fast enough manner that we don't need to hold your money. That smart contract is just going to tell us how much credit you're good for, and then we can, you know, allow you to trade in real-time futures trading, but everything's going on-chain. And that's really the critical thing that we're developing that you can't really do right now. You can't do real-time on-chain futures trading, and that's really the thing that we're trying to get to, and that's going to allow the non-custodial aspect of it, which means you can trade on the exchange without trusting the exchange with your money. Mm-hmm. Now, the commission-free side of it is made possible by having our own base currency. The Digitex token is the only currency that you can use on the futures exchange, so your account balance is denominated in that, your trading profits and losses are denominated in that. So you might be trading Bitcoin futures, you know, against the US dollar, but your profits and losses are in Digitex tokens. And that creates that demand from traders that are attracted to commission-free, liquid, non-custodial markets, trustless markets, will need to buy the Digitex token to participate because ownership of the Digitex token is compulsory. And that's going to create demand for the token. That in turn allows us to mint a small number of new tokens each year to cover the costs of running the exchange. That's what replaces transaction fees on trades. It's that minting of a small number of new tokens each year. And that's controlled democratically by all Digitex token owners.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. And that's what I wanted to ask you about is the crypto economics of this. And that's one of the things I really appreciate about this new world of, you know, internet money or, you know, digit tokens. And so I guess my next question is what's the plan? What's the long-term forecast for the Digitex tokens? Not necessarily for price, but what is the purpose? Is it specifically a use case for the exchange, or do you see it having a stable value at some point where people hold their resources in it? Or, you know, what's the forecast and the plan for the Digitex token?
Well, I mean, the thing with the Digitex token is it very efficiently captures the value of the exchange because its use is compulsory. I mean, a lot of tokens were just kind of tacked onto projects as an afterthought, as a way of just raising a bunch of money. The Digitex token is different in that it is an integral part of how the whole exchange works. The exchange doesn't work without the Digitex token. The commission-free thing doesn't work. The non-custodial aspect of it doesn't work if it's not, you know, a token, an Ethereum-based token. It's very much a utility token that is necessary for the use of the exchange. And as the exchange gets more valuable, gets busier, the markets become more liquid, that token as a vehicle for being able to trade commission-free futures trustlessly is going to gain value. I don't see it more as really as a stable coin as such, because its value is going to be dependent on the popularity of the exchange. You know, it's going to kind of be directly linked to how many traders we have on the exchange. If we've got, you know, 100 guys on the exchange, there's no demand. If we've got 1 million guys on the exchange, there's high demand. So I don't see it as being particularly a stable coin. It's just very, very much, it's very much the traditional utility token that a lot of people say they are, but we actually are. It's very much utility based.
So if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to get your thoughts on, you know, what perpetuated this down leg that we saw in crypto, the overall down leg from $6,000 Bitcoin, we'll call it, as the benchmark, down to where we are now? Was it the Bitcoin Cash hard fork that instilled fear? And I'll preface that by saying when we saw the hard forks in 2017, that seemed to add market cap and interest into the space as opposed to what we're seeing now, which might have instilled some more fear and uncertainty as to what's going on in the future.
Yeah, I think it was just the way it was done. It was just done badly this time. You know, it was a big argument. You know, the whole Bitcoin crowd is like a dysfunctional family to start with. You know, the Bitcoin Cash guys take that to another level. We were all already in a bear market. Everybody was already disappointed with crypto. It was just the way it was handled. It just made us all realize, or made a lot of people realize, that don't quite understand crypto. They're like, who's this guy and how can he just suddenly, you know, say a bunch of shit and then this happens? So I think it just scared a lot of people. I think it was the forks that triggered it, but I just think it was very bad timing. It was just the worst timing to do it. People were already very nervous. But like I say, it looks like when you look at the classic, you know, bear market graphs, it does look like that classic capitulation period now. I mean, how much worse can it get now? I mean, seriously, how much further can Ethereum go down? It went from 1300 to 100. At what point does it stop going down?
Yeah. Well, and that's a good point. But we know that markets tend to overcorrect. And it's going to be the markets and people in general trying to figure out what it's actually worth. And you know, it's interesting what you said. You know, people had 2,000 years to figure out the price of gold and silver. And we're just in this phase of crypto, and we're so far from saturation. If you believe the premise that there's real use case going
forward.
Which
of course there is. That premise is very believable. Of course there's real use case for it. You know, I think most people can accept that use case, that crypto isn't going anywhere.
Yeah. Well, Adam, if you would, share some closing thoughts here with us. I appreciate your time here at Crush the Street, and especially in this very timely arena we're in with crypto going crazy, getting some insight on the space. It's very welcome to hear advice and from someone like yourself who's right in the heart of it, who's building out this infrastructure and is at ground zero of this entire space. So please share some closing thoughts. If people want to get more information about Digitex, where can they go and what they'll find? And just close us out here.
Sure, I'd be happy to. If you want to learn more about Digitex, we're at digitexfutures.com. We've currently got a wait list. We're planning on launching the beta version of our exchange at the start of this year in January. We've got a waiting list of almost 600,000 people now have joined the wait list to get onto the exchange. We're going to be letting the first 5,000 on first and then staggered after that. But massive, massive interest in it. You know, our token price went crazy this year. Generally, that you're talking about the, you know, I've been a raging bull the whole year, so I've been horribly wrong on crypto the whole year. You know, if you want to take my advice on what to do, if you'd have done that all the year, you would have lost money. So I don't know if I'm the right person for that. I'm just still a raging bull on it. I don't understand why it's gone down so much personally. We must have gotten so far overvalued that, you know, this is, maybe that was wrong and this is correct. I don't know. All I know is that this is blowing past those highs. We're coming for mass adoption. Right now, what can you think of that uses cryptocurrency really in everyday life? Really nothing still, literally nothing, except for gambling and, you know, little things like that. You know, the upside for crypto is beyond enormous. You know, every industry can really use it. It is coming. It's coming hard. You know, I would say get into the main cryptocurrencies, keep an eye on the interesting projects, certainly get into Digitex Futures, obviously. because again, 2019 is going to be the year of cryptocurrency futures. You know, there's the BACT coming out, there's NASDAQ coming out. There's just a lot of interest in futures right now. And if we get that non-custodial aspect developed where, you know, we can actually have smart contracts on the Ethereum blockchain talking to our exchange in real time and putting those transactions between real time trades, there's real advancements that we can do for real world high volume usage that will lead to that mass adoption. So yeah, in general, I'm still very bullish on it. I'm still very excited about cryptocurrency. I just think we got a little ahead of ourselves, but generally we're right and we got to stay on track.
Well, Adam, I appreciate your time here at crushthestreet.com. We look forward to having you on again in the very near future, especially as things develop here. Good luck on your project, and I look forward to seeing how this all develops and being part of it, actually.
Thanks very much. I really appreciate you having me on here. I'll come back anytime you want. So thanks again. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Thanks, mate.